Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody pray for me. It's been a day for me. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances, finessing on them with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this Parmesan with my accountant. Look this back, I'm down in this. You say with my boobay tastes like Kool-Aid for the analyst. Girl, I can buy a Westie world with my face stuff. I know that it's good, won't you sit it on my taste buds? I get way too petty, won't you let me do the extras? Pull up on your block and break it down, we playing Tetris. AM to the PM, PM to the AM phone. Eat up your per diem, you just gotta hate them phone. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes phone. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk.
My left stroke just went viral.
Right stroke, put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Tell them be humble.
Hold up.
Sit
hold
down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down. Be humble.
Sit down.
Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Who that thinking that he frontin' on that man? Get the off my stage. I'm the same man. Get the off my ass. That ain't right. A play blowing up your whole life. I'm so, so sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural, I wanna feel some stretch marks. Then let's take you down right on your mama's couch and polo socks. Hey, this is way too crazy, hey. You do not amaze me, hey. I blew cool from AC, hey. Obama just paged me, hey. I don't fabricate it, hey. Most of y'all be faking, hey. I stay modest about it, hey. She elaborated, hey. This that Grey Poupon, that AV on that TED Talk, hey. Watch my soul speak, you let the med talk, hey. If I kill an it won't be the alcohol, hey. I'm the realest after all. Tell them be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down. Be humble.
Hold up.
Tell them sit down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down. Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Hold up.
When they wake up, for the ones who rockin' lace fronts, you know, I ain't gon' say nothing. Hashtag me your single, you fresh off the breakup. For the introverts, no, we don't gotta say much. If you feel free, then you should lift your hand. Real love, less friends. So many things in this world I don't understand. I won't judge who you love or your brown skin.
If you got the feeling, hey, get up on your feet.
Have to aim to please, or be a certain way. Don't aspire to be what you see in the magazines. There's only one you and one me.
If you feel free, then you should lift your hand. Wanna shake it, baby, like I know you can. So many things in this world I don't understand. I won't judge who you love or your brown skin. People get liberated.
don't get caught up in the glow. And I don't know it all, but I see as I grow. Can't take the pain away, cause it's in my soul.
If you feel free, then you should lift your hands. Wanna shake it, baby.
If words was crack, we would have the most potent shit around. If words is weed, then we got them by the pound. Get high with us tonight as Drip the Mic has found the perfect host to bring our good folks that sound. Every Tuesday it goes down. Your man Hezekiah has broken ground on the Drip the Mic Network, and he brings the Author's Lounge. This is where we meet and greet. Man, Drip the Mic don't compete. No need to be consumed with greed or dishonesty. We lead, uplift, and discuss as our need is to bring verbal muscle to the struggle and hustle to keep dropping digital and paperbacks for the world to read. The Author's Lounge, going up on a Tuesday. As he runs the mic, quarterback-like genius when he writes, and he picks his words Tuesday. This script could not have been better written in a movie. A good friend, Hezekiah, has moved in, then committed to moving in our circle and blessing us with his proven pen. Prioritize tuning in 6 p.m. Central and Eastern at 7 p.m. and listen in, because we be going in, and we would love for you to share this experience. Delirious shenanigans accompanied with verbal adjectives. Praising words like they are gods, broken down into nouns, verbs, predicates, and adjectives. Since I learned of the days when, like, baseball cards, our melanin displayed us as property for trade, I prayed never again will we be a slave. So I behave as if I'm a human paraphrase. Learn to enunciate, ad-lib, and use my scribe to communicate. And today, the Artist Lounge provides a stage for like-minded kings and queens of the literary community, other artists, and those who create to explore. The Drip the Mic Hotel has opened the doors, as the next 2 hours you endure will be free of commercials, non-judgmental, and impartial, with Hezzy holding it down like Thurgood Marshall. Ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Author's Lounge with your host and my man, Hezzy, in the building.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Author's Lounge tonight. And we have an amazing show for you all. Wow. I just can't believe I got everybody in the building tonight on this beautiful Tuesday night. But first, I want to introduce my company CEO and producers, First Lady and CEO as, and just Drip the Mic for letting me have this show and to bring y'all these beautiful authors tonight. And with not long ado, I want to introduce my co-host, Miss Melissa MC. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. Yes. How are you today?
Whew, busy, man, busy. This is my day off, and I was like, man, I still can't get no sleep.
You know, I've been busy doing nothing. Busy doing nothing. I promise you, busy doing nothing. I had to leave my house 15 times to go to the corner and come back. That's the truth. The truth. The circle. But you know, but we do have an amazing show tonight. I am truly looking forward to this because, you know, I swear, I want to tell it so bad, but I'm going to keep the secret between me and Hayes. But anywho, like I said, I've been looking forward to this show too.
Well, with not further ado, you want to introduce the first guest? M-I-S-S-S-I-P-P-I, Cook-a-Lady I.
You know what? That is too funny. I promise you, Miss Johnson, Melon, I hope we could be at a first-name basis after this is over. Because when I read your bio and I saw you from Mississippi, I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I just imagine a small town. Am I correct? Let me introduce you. I'm so sorry. Before I start asking questions, I'll tell you I'm so excited. Miss Johnson, we have you on tonight. You know, she has written several books. I love this one with the broken mirror. They'll reflect. So with that, I'll give you Miss Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to see you.
Ladies,
welcome,
ladies.
My Mississippi sister. Here's it, just to
I'm
let
not.
You know, we call it the sip down here.
Ooh, I think somebody just got a check mark.
How y'all doing tonight? Oh, wow.
I'm
trying to say it's bad weather right now.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Y'all got weather coming in. Right.
Yes, it's coming in tomorrow. So, hey, you know what they say about the sip, though? You know what they say about the weather and the sip, though? If you don't like the weather, just wait a few minutes. It'll change.
Oh, Lord. Woo! Bipolar.
Yes. You might have winter in the morning and summer in the afternoon. But that's about like me, though, Hezzy, because, you know, with my new book, Flavor Melanin, it's full of flavor. So you might have a little church girl in one part and a steamy girl in the next.
I don't go down. I need to get off right now.
Nope,
no salt tonight.
You know what? I really feel comfortable. I really feel secure now. I feel like I can call her Mel. Mel.
Girl.
You can.
Girl.
Call me Mel.
Girl. Mel. Girl.
Yes.
Talk about it. I mean, I see your work, and I'm like, I'm taken back at some points. I'm teary at others, and I'm happy at some point. You got everybody emotions all over the place, don't you, lady?
Yes, including my own. this has been quite a journey, and it is one. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Well, I want you to tell me about some of them. No. Let me start.
I see where this train's going.
Uh-huh.
I see the train. Oh my God, yo! I see the train. The little light just blink and stop. I see the Cadillac. That Cadillac is to keep going.
Just a little bit about yourself first before we get to the flavor.
Okay, before we get to the flavor, hello everyone. My name is Melanie Johnson, and I'm from Mississippi, the SIP small town. I'm from a small town called Carthage, Mississippi. I currently reside in Laurel, Mississippi. I am a school teacher. I call myself an educational influencer because I teach things outside of what the textbook says. I am an author, a poet, a publisher, a motivational speaker. Just whatever somebody needs to put a smile on their face, that's what I am. That's what I do.
Well, I tell you what, you're about to tell us about the Flavors of Melon book so I can get a smile. Talk about that for a minute.
My flavor of melanin is it's an anthology of different poetic pieces that I put together over the course of, I think, a year. Now, I know people are not going to believe this, but I only started writing 2 years ago. And I really only started writing poetry maybe a year and a half ago. And because I'm a math teacher. And my students like to laugh and say, "Ms. Johnson, how are you a math teacher, but you write books?" But, hey, that's how it works.
Because I hated math.
Math makes it count. Them,
no, it don't
that's
either. Them
lot.
Formulas and A, B square and them.
You know what? I'm done. I'm done. Just tonight, I'm done. You know what? That's why we call this place a lounge. We can't call it nothing else but a lounge.
That's right. But you know what, Hezzy? When I teach math, I kind of make it fun and interesting. So you kind of learn stuff without even realizing you're learning it. So it's cool.
Okay.
You've done a lot. You're an educator. Wow. I'm sorry.
Yes. That's okay. I tell people that I've come to terms with the fact that I'm a domestic abuse survivor. I didn't like to think of myself as that, but I am. And the thing about it is I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. So that's the wonderful part.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.
Yes.
You have
a
lot.
My first book
you
was about that. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, thank
Wow. You have a lot. You're an educator. You write books. You just started writing poetry. And you've been through so – and how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? I'm going to put that out there.
That's fine. I'll tell anybody. I'm 48 years old. I'll be 49 this year.
Well, I see you be popping. I see your lip gloss be popping. So,
hey, Hezzy. I sell jewelry, too. So I always tell people,
hey.
You know, I got to go and glam up for them. And I tell them, the lips are popping, the jewelry dropping.
I know that's right.
Hey,
wow.
This your platform tonight, girl. This your time to shine.
Yeah.
Everything you got
right.
going on.
Yeah. We want it all. We want all the tea.
All right. I just do it all. I like selling jewelry because I like putting a smile on women's faces. It's all in fun. Yeah.
You know what? I get it. I love it because it's so much of a part of me, like I said, when I was reading your stuff, it's so much of a part of me that I could see. That's why I say you took me on an emotional roller coaster. Because sometimes you're still not sure if you're in an abusive relationship or not. It's that big time question mark. Like, how much more am I going to take, or how much more am I staying for? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. And see, mine was, the reason why I didn't identify myself as that was because mine was not physical. Mine was emotional, mental, and financial. And it was difficult. Yeah, it's difficult to change your mindset when the bruises are not visible to other people because they see it as, oh, y'all got a perfect relationship, but you don't see what's going on behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But God delivered me, thank the Lord. And he delivered me to be able to tell other people what I went through and how I could still walk around with a smile on my face.
I think the CEO got a word.
I'm smiling.
I think the CEO got a word to say.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt this interview because the interview is dope. I'm loving everything that I'm hearing. I hate to interrupt. So, you know, I got to be a good reason I'm interrupting. We do have a call on the line. It goes by the name of Leslie.
Okay. And she
has a question for our guest this evening. So I'm going to go ahead and bring her in.
Oh.
Okay.
What's up, Miss Leslie?
What's up? Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Oh, my goodness. See, I told you this can't be called nothing but the lounge. I promise you.
Just lounging.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Leslie.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well.
I just had a question.
Yes.
You could go back.
Say it.
If you could go back and to like where you were younger, who you used to be, what advice would you give the younger you after all that you've been through now?
Wow. I often think about that question, and that's a tough one. Yeah, I have to be honest. This is my sister, so I knew she was going to come with a tough question.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's the point.
Who better? Who better?
Yes. If I had a chance, the opportunity to talk to the younger me, I would tell her to the same thing that I have on my Facebook profile. What others think about you is none of your concern. Stop being concerned with pleasing other people and learn how to love yourself and appreciate yourself. Because that's something I dealt with even from a young age, not understanding how to love me and how to value me. And just let her know, baby, you're good enough. You're more than enough.
Wow.
Drop the mic on that one for real. Drip it, drop it on me.
Ms.
Leslie,
I got a question for Ms. Leslie. Yes, you go.
Oh, Lord.
I get Ms. Leslie last.
Okay.
Go ahead, Miss. Go ahead, Melissa.
Ms. Leslie, you signed up for this, okay? When you called in, I had a question for you too. Now.
Okay, I didn't hear the question.
Yes,
ma'am.
My question to you is, Miss Leslie, your sister, what is it that you admire the most about her at this point in her life?
Oh, my God.
Okay. What I admire her the most about her, and this is that even been through our younger years, is no matter what is going on, she has a smile on her face. She looks at the positive side of things, and even when I'm going through something and I ask her for advice and I'm the negative one or thinking negative, she always brings out the positive side of it. And so that's what I admire the most about her, that no matter what, she's gone. The glass is always half full instead of half empty.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh.
Hansa, why you do this to me? I'm in tears now.
Miss Leslie, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Who ran the house when y'all was growing up? Was it you or your
sister? Oh, baby, that was the oldest sister.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, man,
that was Miss
Nikki.
Oh, my goodness. That was pouring the tea. We need her to call now. I definitely need her to call because I want to know. Because y'all came to the office now.
Yes.
Yeah, Melanie was always
the quiet one.
Oh.
Okay.
I know that's a math teacher for you. She probably had numbers in her head.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was talking about adding the problem. Look, she was adding the problem. She was just adding the problem. Mm. Wow. I mean, just being an educator right now, I my hat's off to you. I don't know how you do it. You're amazing in my eyes because, wow, it just can't be easy. It just can't be
easy. Thank you. Today was one of those days that I said the same thing. I don't know how I do it because it's getting close to test time. The students are tired and the thing about it is we've been in a COVID situation for the last 2 years. So for 2 years, they haven't had to go to school a full 180 days because most of the time they were at home. The whole last 9 weeks of the first year, 2 years ago, they were at home the whole last 9 weeks. So they went to school for 3 weeks, I mean 3-9 weeks. So with this year, this is the first year they had to go to school this long since COVID. And they're tired. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it. They don't want to do anything. But the thing about it is, it's time for state tests. So now they got to really push it. So it's kind of difficult getting them to put forth that extra effort.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So most of them do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a question. But during these times, and now they have to take state tests. That's like a burden. That's a real burden on a kid and a child. You know what I'm saying? That's not used to being in that scheduling thing where they have to really concentrate. Because they've been at home running around, then they'll log in, boom, boom, boom. But I know instead of my daughter, she didn't even want to get up and do no work. You know, I'm like,
right.
wow.
Right. So, yes. It's quite difficult.
I imagine, and I'm sure they inspire you to write. You got to have an outlet with that, I'm sure. I'm sure they inspire you to write.
Yes, they do. They do. They're waiting for me to come out with my young adults book. So, and they want their names in it. It's like, write a book about me, Ms. Jones. I said, ooh, the pages I could write.
Right. Be careful what you ask for.
That's right.
So let's talk about this Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Melanin. I know everybody loves melanin, but no, it's Flavor of Melanin. Just joking.
Love you, girl. We love you, girl. We go.
All your flavors.
Yes. All of them. Because I'm telling you, I came with some flavors in this one. Flavor of Melanin was a compilation of different types of poetry. I have poetry that deals with social justice issues. I got poetry that deals with education, autism. I have poetry that deals with religion. I have poetry that deals with passion and sexual desire. I have poetry that deals with, I don't know, some everything. Oh, I have some whimsical poems in here that were challenges put forth to me to use certain imagery or certain words in a poem, and I just put them in there and it flowed.
Wow, you just bringing out all your talents. Could you be so glad to recite one of your poems?
You know what, Hezzy? I'm going to do just that. And the first one I want to share with you is one I actually wrote for you. When you came out with your book, get that bell. When you came out with your book, Invisible Woman.
Yes.
Okay, that inspired me. So I wrote this one. It's called Invisibility.
Oh, Lord.
You ready?
Thank you. Yes.
Invisibility. The perfect woman. Many say she don't exist. And to even strive to find one is just a wish list item that consists of the qualities and mythologies that fuel the curiosities of the man who thinks he can devise the plan that will reveal the unimaginable, unfathomable, yet lovable and unbelievable specimen of this woman, this perfect woman that women swear they are, about as available as touching a star hung high in the sky so far out of reach that all men should beseech just an opportunity to leech and hold on to because she's so rare. That most men just stare unaware they are a mere grain of sand slipping through her hand until she can find the one so grand that they deserve the opportunity to create some type of unity entwined with promiscuity, yet all the while displaying ambiguity to leave the door open in case he's not really the one, a perfect woman. Is it just a fantasy, something none of us can see? Because what we expect her to be, which itself is a fallacy, only exists through vanity, believing something impossible to be true. I mean, it's something we do to convince us to pursue the one thing that exists in our dreams that we play back scene by scene, always comparing the one we're with to the one we want. They were mad when they leave because they don't enjoy always being compared. Well, the perfect woman. Oh, yeah, she exists, but not how he'd wish. She's not that unattainable. Walking in her midst, often dismissed without even a kiss because she doesn't look like what he thinks. And his dreams and reality don't link because he wants everything but the kitchen sink. And loses an opportunity in just a blink to experience the closest thing to a queen or something in between her and heaven unseen. Just to chase a thought without even checking his ability to attain her or even the probability that she choose him. Oh, yes, she's a possibility. Only if he were entertained the versatilities of the qualities that make her perfect. The flexibility of her viability to exist in a world full of hurt and pain. Rarely will she gain the eye of her perfect man. So, until then, she will protect her fragility by remaining cloaked in invisibility. Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is wow. Wow. Now, when I'm at a loss for words, that's something. When I'm at a loss for words, because I always thought I had a word for this evening. That is awesome, girl.
Thank you.
That is awesome. When you get that silence across the room, you have started people thinking long after the clap is
done. And hard. Yes, yes.
It's like that silence. People take that silence as a bad thing. No. You just sent us somewhere else. Again, like I said, emotion after emotion. Wow.
I couldn't say nothing because you did on point.
Yes. Yeah. And versus to your work has, think about it. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all might have to come together on something because y'all been on the, y'all was definitely on the same wave. Ride it.
Yeah.
That was my fun piece because when Hezzy announced his book opening, his book launch, I was like, ooh, Invisible Woman. What does that mean to me? This one kind of leads into what my sister was talking about. Some of the things that I've gone through from being a child up into who I am now. And this one was inspired by me going to see the movie Respect about Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
I actually went to the movie with my sister, and I was bawling in tears, crying, coming out, because I related to so much that was going on. And the words that kept coming to me as I was leaving was becoming. Oh, no, I became. That's what it was. I became. So I wrote this piece. It's entitled Became Becoming. I was born into a family loving and kind. Yet I grew up without a peace of mind, always feeling somewhat out of place. The feeling of acceptance I'd always taste. So I became the little girl fearful and scared. I became the little girl who wondered if anyone cared. I became the little girl who strove to be the best. I became the little girl unable to surpass the rest in my mind. I live my life to be pleasing to others, always wanting to help my sisters and brothers, never focusing on my wants and my needs, thinking that was the only way I could succeed. So I became the girl who had no one's attention. I became the girl no one hardly ever mentioned. I became the girl that always got it right. I became the girl who had no fight left in me. I followed a dream to be the best wife. I put my desires aside and lived his life, feeling I was trying to breathe and gasping for air. What I thought was a dream was actually a nightmare. So I became the lady who learned how to be silent. I became the lady living to always be compliant. I became the lady who was like a trophy. I became the lady who desired just to be free from pain. Then he came along and opened my eyes, and it wasn't until then that I began to realize my worth was not in anyone's hand, and that was difficult to understand. But I became a woman full of knowledge and wisdom. I became a woman who no longer was a victim. I became a woman ready to step into her season. I became a woman who no longer needed a reason, because I am delivered, I am free,
I am whole. I am becoming me. Thank you.
That was great.
Thank you.
And you know, I love how the things around us inspire us. It took a movie, mm-hmm. something as simple as a movie that we know the story of, but it something, mm-hmm. like you said, something resonated with you.
Yeah. Aretha was out the chain too, though. Woo-wee.
Yes, she was. Yes.
But you gotta.
She had to be.
That's all of us, you know, growing up when we were so sheltered and told what to do and everything. When we get a chance of, mm-hmm. freedom, it's like we got to experience it all. And mm-hmm. I can't say that's a bad thing, because we need to experience it. Let's let go and be free and do what we want to do sometimes. I mean, it's a backlash to it, but, hey, you live, mm-hmm. your life.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And that's one of the components that I made sure that I incorporated in my book, Flavor of Melanin, because at first, you know, I was like, should I put this in there? Because what people going to think? And I had to go back to what I wrote in my first book, Womanly, mm-hmm. Wisdom, what they couldn't tell me. What they thought was not what made me. And I can't live my life based upon what they're going to think. So this book was my freedom. This was my freedom journey. I put things in here. My parents got a copy of it, but they ain't read all of it yet. I'm kind of waiting until they get to some point to it, because I know it's probably going to be some weird stuff.
My mama told me she ain't reading my nasty book.
Well, it's not nasty.
Mama, they know nasty.
They don't think about that.
My nasty. It's mad. But anyway, I was like, mama, all the romance books you used to read back in the day, come on now.
Exactly.
Man, please. Y'all don't even want me to get me started with the tenderloins. Y'all don't
know.
The muscular box cuts around his arm. You was like, what in the Christmas? But hey,
exactly.
That was what was on the dinner table.
Man, they love Danielle still for that, man.
And out there in the Daily Word, you know, it's like, take your pick, the tenderloins or the Daily Word.
that white dude, Fabio with the long hair, he was on every cover, boy.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, even his non-tenderloins, you know. his non-tenderloins.
Okay.
I promise you. To be in love with a man only to find out later, you know, to have a crush on somebody on the cover of a book, to only find out later that they are gay, you're devastated. You're like,
it's devastating, yes.
Devastating, but you live with it. You're like, all right, come on, Fabio, keep on putting cover book covers.
Hey, look, a girl can't help a dream, right?
With
a hit case boy, too, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh,
I'm not even going to touch
funny.
That subject. We're going to talk about how we can find your books and how can we, you know, get to know you a little more on your social media sites and stuff like that.
Okay, my books are available on Amazon, or you can just contact me. I'm on Facebook, Melanie Johnson. I'm on Instagram as MJ2017. That's EMJAE 2017.
You know Michael Jordan.
I'm on. Yes. I'm on TikTok, MJ1908. I'm on Linktree, Melanie Johnson on Linktree, and you can see all my pages and things on Linktree. So.
Okay.
Just find
what about the jewelry?
Facebook.
What about the jewelry?
My jewelry is called Sister Styles, and I'm an independent paparazzi consultant, so you can find my jewelry page on Facebook as well as Sister Styles VIP Experience.
Because
I always like to keep a sister stylish.
Yes.
Hey, you,
please.
You be doing your thing.
And
I've been watching.
Yeah.
Please do. Because you know what? If those pieces didn't come in sets, I would not match you right. I promise you.
Oh, and wait till you see some of my upgrades, baby.
I always get it wrong. I thank God for those pieces being together. Because I'll even put on two little necklaces and some gigantic earrings or some gigantic, you know, necklace and two little earrings. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But, we make it work, sis.
Oh,
I wanted to share this piece because, he's never heard me talk like this. All right, this one is entitled Traffic Signal.
I need that bell.
Traffic Signal.
Bell.
This is entitled Traffic Signal. It's tamed. Traffic Signal. Green light. I know. Green light, yellow light, red light, stop. I don't really mean that, but it's getting scorching hot. I want to give you all I got, immersing my soul in the muscular build of your arm, knowing I am in no harm, just mesmerized by your alarming charm. Red light, green light, yellow light, slow. I can tell you that you already know how far my timid soul will go, wanting to feel your every touch, desiring your embodied love so much because I have never experienced such. Yellow light, red light, green light, go. No one else will have to know the strength of our desire we wouldn't show. For it is between you, me and you, what it is that we do, only in our mind where no one knew.
What? Man, let me find out they got it going on in there.
You don't know about the soup. I'm trying to tell you, you don't know about the soup. Y'all think we down here eating watermelon and stuff all day. I don't even like watermelon. And guess what else? I'm not a fan of fried chicken either. I'm not a watermelon fried chicken eating person. So, no, we do it more than that in the soup.
I
know this. I want
to take me a trip to the soup. I ain't lying. I want to go to the soup. I want to go to the soup. Oh, man. Thank you again for coming on this. Goodness. You was awesome tonight. Thank you. Repeat out your social media sites and your contacts and your links before you leave us tonight. Lord have mercy.
Okay. My book can be found on Amazon. You can look it up by my name, Melanie Johnson. I'm on Facebook, Melanie Johnson. I'm on Instagram, EMJE2017. I'm on TikTok, EMJE1908. I'm on Linktree, Melanie Johnson. And just look, if you just Google me, I'm Googleable, baby.
Yo, that's the favorite of Melon, right?
No, she didn't. Just Google me, baby.
Google me, baby.
Okay, just Google me, baby.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. It was truly an honor to have you.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We enjoyed having you.
Thank you. I hope I represented the ship well for you.
Oh,
please.
Honey.
Yes, honey. You repped well. And thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, man. Woo. We're going to take a quick break so I can acknowledge the station. Thank you for Drip to Mike for presenting this show tonight. Author's Lounge. Call in 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. Coming up, this guy right here. We've been going back and forth for the past couple of maybe months or weeks, but I finally got him on the show. And he hails all the way from California. He's not even a Californian. But this man got some books, and I'm telling you, these books are awesome. Without further ado, I want to introduce Mr. Arthur. How are you doing tonight?
Hello. Good evening.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, it's a pleasure being here. Do you not know?
I'm glad. I'm glad you are here. Can you hear me? I'm glad you
are
here.
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, go ahead.
Did you say from California? Is what you said?
Oh, no. That's where you at, right?
No.
Oh, where you at?
Right now, I'm presently in Anderson, Nevada.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah.
You get around.
But, I tell you this, though. Originally, I'm from Jamaica. I was born in Kingston, Jamaica.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
How old were you when you came to the States?
I was 10 years old. I grew up in New York City in the Bronx, actually.
Wow.
Okay. South Bronx and a half.
That's right.
And if it wasn't
South
for the
Bronx,
that's right, it wouldn't be
that's
going
right.
on. That's right. Where you from.
That's right. 138 on Willis Avenue. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, come on, and give us some of your background real quick.
Okay.
Let the audience know who you are and what you do.
Okay. I was born in Kingston, Jamaica, moved to the States, moved to the Bronx, where I attended elementary, middle school, high school. And I eventually went to Queens College in Queens, New York. But during this process, I also moved to Brooklyn, where my kids were born. I consider myself a citizen of the world because I have been, outside of the country a lot. When it comes to writing, I started writing poetry, actually. I wrote, probably over 300 poems and things like that. And then this parlayed me into writing novels because I always had an affinity for writing books. I've always felt that way, like I've always had a story to tell. So this was like an easy transition from poetry to just writing novels and stuff like that, at least for me. So basically that's it. And as I said, I lived in a few states. I've lived outside the country, and I'm here in Nevada. Yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah.
I see you got 12 books.
That's correct.
Which one of them? Yes. Which one of them is your baby?
To be honest with you, I have more than one baby.
Okay.
I would say. Fear Game, Treasure,
mm-hmm.
and New Blood. Those three.
New Blood. Okay.
Yeah. And the reason...
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, the reason why I said Fear Game is because it was my first novel. And the thing is, when I wrote this, I was actually signed to a traditional publishing house for two books, Fear Game and another title.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I thought this was it, if you know what I mean, being signed and things like that, getting a bonus and stuff like that. I felt this was it. But then after a while, as I got to know the business, I realized that sometimes it's good to not have a middleman, so to speak. And because of the situation they were putting me through, they wanted to change a lot of things, as far as, the stuff that I wrote, they wanted to change it, basically. And I felt like, I stayed up all night, days, weeks, months, putting this project together. And for you to just come and just change certain things about it, which, when I wrote it, there was an emotional aspect to it. You know what I mean? There were times when I was writing and I was overcome with this emotion as I was putting these words together, and for you to just come and just take that away, for me,
it takes the air out of you, because you want your emotions and you read a book, but you feel like they're taking the book out of your hands and really putting it in their hands as they're telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They take the whole narrative and just.
I had, I had that really happen with my first book, and I was that was my toggle back and forth with the publisher about that. I don't want that. This is my words. Leave my words as are. You know, this is not your book. This is my book.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, what happened was when I told them that I wanted to basically, like, I told them that I wouldn't sign another book deal with them. You know what they did? They told me I couldn't use the cover.
They
will lock you down from different sides, and then you have to just stand firm. You know, you got to stand firm.
Yes, they told me that I could not use the cover on my own because they own the copyright to the cover. So I said, okay, you can have the cover. And, I moved on. And the other titles that I have now, they were independently published because through trials and tribulations, I learned the game, so to speak. I had to go out. I had to cut out the middleman. I had to find my own publishing printer. I had a guy in Florida who was very, very nice. I mean, he was well respected, and he understood where I was coming from. And I would, you know, get my stuff done through him, get it printed. So basically, I just had to do everything on my own. Everything. I had to do the promotion on my own. I had to set up everything on Amazon, and at one point, Barnes & Noble, all this stuff I had to do myself. And it was hard. It was difficult because there were times when I felt like, oh, man, this is like too much. I'm overwhelmed. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know what, Anthony? My last book was the first book I ever published, right? It was a 2-week grind just to get the cover to fit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, sitting there, it's back and forth, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's not going to be able to come out. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen.
Right.
The cover was the hardest. I'm like, are you serious? Dude, just paste the cover.
Right.
Who cares? All the lines. You got to get everything in line. Or what's the bleeding? I don't know what bleeding means.
You're
put it online. I don't care how it looks.
Right.
Just put it out there. You know, and I'm just going nuts, like, oh, my God, I see why I got a publisher to do this shit right here.
That's right.
Because I'm losing my mind.
But after a while.
But the funny thing was, after the end result, you're like, nobody gets that money but me.
That's right. And not only that.
You did it.
Not only that, you can share this with certain people. You can you know, and that's been one of my biggest things is that when I first started, what I found out was the copyright. I recall talking to this guy or some kind of company, and they were telling me that they could get my stuff copyrighted for anywhere from like $300 to $400.
Oh no.
And I was like,
no.
This is
try to jip you all the way around.
Yes.
Do you know what I did with all of my books? Before I even sent them to a publisher, I went to the Library of Congress, copyrighted my own work for $35. It's $50.
That's exactly
now, for 30.
That's exactly what I did. What I did
but
was
you know,
go ahead.
Any author, any true old fashioned author can tell you the easiest way to do it is just mail a copy to yourself. That's a poor man's copyright.
But a lot of them won't.
Then, you know, they can't do it now. But back then when you could write a book and mail it to yourself, and as long as the post office recognized it.
But it's so easy. It's so easy to get a copyrighted through the Library of Congress because all you got to do is upload it.
Yes.
It ain't even got to be the original copy. It can be the rough draft.
The rough draft,
right,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And see,
what
the publisher is not going to tell you, publisher is not going to tell you is when they do it, they switch the game up when they copyright your work, so they put something in it that they got a little ownership to it, and you never know
that
until you're like, that's why I'm like, no, I can do it myself.
That is correct. Like you guys, what I did was I went to the Library of Congress. I found out that I could put like 3, 4, 5 titles, et cetera, together and call it Anthony Pathfinder Works and pay $35.
Wow. Ooh. Wow. Ooh, well, thank you for that. That's a lesson I learned. Thank you.
That's that
thank
nugget.
You.
That's what
that's
I did.
That
yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's what
yes.
I did. I have 4 of my titles. I believe it's Untold Tales, Unleash, Arania Fair, and New Blood under Anthony Pathfinder's Works, and I paid $35.
Oh,
so,
man, you just gave me a gym tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys,
that's what they dropped in the nuggets.
Yeah, these guys and gals, when I first started out, they would never share these things with you. Never. You know, they kept it to themselves. And if they could
do.
Get whatever they can get from you, they would take it from you, charge you $100, $150,
mm-hmm.
$200 just to get something copyrighted.
Next thing you know, you're paying $2,000 for a $200 book
right,
you could have published yourself.
Correct, correct,
mm-hmm.
correct. So,
you know, Mr. Pepper, that's the business. That's the business
mm-hmm.
I'm starting up now.
That's,
I'm going to be, teaching people how to publish their own books.
Yes, yes. Yes, I have done that as well.
But you don't need no publisher no more now.
No, no.
Right.
Because you know why? I tell people this all the time. Publishing houses, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, they don't sell your books. And people ask me, they'll say, what? They'll say, what? They don't sell your books? I said, no, they don't. People, the person, the name, on the book is what sells the book because these companies in these traditional publishing houses, they are invested in someone who can bring them funds.
Yep, that's it.
Okay?
Yeah.
A prime example would be a celebrity / athlete. You and I both know these guys don't write those books.
They don't. They ain't never. Well, they ain't even looked at the book.
Not. They can't even spell half of them. They can't spell the word. They play some of them.
That's right. But because they have a name, these companies are willing to give them a signing bonus of X amount of dollars because they know they will get that money back because of the name.
Yeah.
So what I tell people all the time, they'll look at me and say, "What do you mean they don't?" I said, "No, it's the people. It's the name." So if you're like a self-publishing author / independent author like myself and so many others, then it's up to us to get out there 365 days a year and just keep going at it, because that's the only way your books will get out there. Because Amazon, Barnes & Noble, for independent publishers and writers, you're at a certain level.
Yeah.
You're at a certain level, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have to make your mark, and the only way you can make your mark is by basically doing some of the things that I mentioned, and they look at me like, I said, no, don't. It's not something that you give up on. It's a motivation for you to go out there and put in the work.
That's right. You know, Mr. Panda, what got me, so when I wrote my first book, I didn't care if my book was on Amazon or not. I wanted to go out there and sell my book myself because I knew everybody was flooding to Amazon. So I wanted to be different.
Yes.
So I just called up every university on the East Coast, and they was like, come on, can we find it on Barnes? Send it back?
Yeah.
I'm like, yep. I was like, come on. That's how I made my money. That's how I did what I did.
Yeah.
That's how I marketed and promoted myself. Because you can go to every university on the East Coast and be like, well, how did you do that? That was a marketing strategy that I needed to get to me where I wanted to be at.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. And everybody has to course in how they do things. You have some people that just want to write and too lazy to do anything else. You know, they just want to write and they're supposed to poof,
no
magically appear. Yeah. No,
work. Then get mad at you.
Go to library.
You're not promoting them right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're not willing
to
promote yourself, why you want me to keep promoting?
You know, they want you to go to Astromile when they won't go to Astromile.
You guys just gave me a flashback to when I first started out. I would be on I would be downtown Brooklyn, Atlantic Avenue, with my car trunk. I would open my car trunk, books. I would go to 125th Street in Harlem. Yeah, I would sell from my car trunk. I did all that stuff. I would go to Jamaica Avenue in Jamaica, Queens. Yeah, and I would pull up right there. And, and I would sell my books out of the car trunk and stuff like that. So that's what I did, you know. And
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I used to print out a flyer on a computer and go all through Brooklyn and hit it on a pole, my flyer of my book.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we crossed paths and we just didn't know each other.
You never know.
I was throughout Brooklyn. Yeah. It was about 4 years ago. I'm walking through Brooklyn just posting my flyer with me on it in my book.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom.
Right,
all
right.
Through Brooklyn. Like, but you had office, though. They're never going to get that because COVID hit. That was so fun doing that, though.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah. I mean, people were
more able to do it. They were more able to interact. Yeah. It's been rough.
Yeah. And now I'm working on a collab with a friend of mine. He's also an author. He's a Marine. He's in his name is Brooklyn Boring. We just did five borrowers together, and we are working on this other project called Uncharted Grounds.
Tell me a little bit about the five boroughs.
Okay, the five boroughs. It's about a bunch of special ops guys from the Marines, because he's a Marine. So everything inside this book, when it comes to the Marine lingo, et cetera, most of it is him. I did some stuff on my own, research my own, and I passed it on to him, and he was like, "Yes, that's good." But for the most part, the majority of the military lingo are his. But it's about a group of Marines who comes back to the States, and they kind of feel like, you know, the country hadn't treated them well, so they decided to shut down the five boroughs of New York City, okay, because of I think it's like every year the U.S. government, they burn a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And take it out of circulation. Right.
Uh-huh.
And these guys are a special operations unit. So they know about these things. Right.
Oh.
And they decided to shut down all five bars at the same time. And they have a certain amount of time, like 15 minutes, 10 minutes, within that time frame to
get the money. I got to get it.
Yes, to hit the trucks, which are tractor trailers, okay, at the same time. Okay, and the technology, it's all in there, because like I said, he knows all this stuff. So drones are used,
wow.
All these, the latest development as far as technology is used in it. And it's about them just taking this money. And it's sort of like hackers. It's sort of like...
I like that.
But it's totally different, because these guys are a special unit, and they're called Code Blue. You know, I can just read you a little snippet that was on the back. It says, Code Blue was a special operations unit. This unit was sanctioned by the United States government to carry out black op mission abroad. Once this service was no longer needed, the team was disbanded with no more than a thank you and a few medals. After going their separate ways, the Special Ops team reconnected many years later to pull off one last mission, a heist that can land them in prison for the rest of their life. If this mission is successful, it would be the biggest heist in history. New York City would be their mission, and the five boroughs will be their target. Yeah, so... It's really, you know, for me, it's like, it's one of my favorite books. I actually love this book, because a part that I could read is the theme. It says, it was a time of unrest and disorder. A series of disturbing news filled the airwaves. an unsettling series of world conflicts took a turn for the worse. It was an unmistakable trend that alarmed the United States of America. A chief player on the international stage and considered a shrewd negotiator, the ongoing disputes, some of which were calculated, was an appeal to friends and foes alike. More importantly, they were publicized to incite and keep the adversaries of America guessing. Secretive and selective, the American government chose which hotspots around the world to get involved in, and one of those secret hotspots was in the city of Kandahar, the second largest city in Afghanistan, because this is where the story starts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because there are Marines. So they started out in Kandahar, where they're fighting against, you know, because of America's interests. And they come back home, and they see what's going on. There is some political theme in there when I say they came back home and saw what's going on.
Yes.
People.
Yes. Don't tell.
Yes.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. You see where I'm going with
yes,
this?
I got
yes.
it. I got
right.
it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like stuff
okay.
like with Mr. Floyd. Yes. Mr. Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. They see all these
mm-hmm.
things going on. They see veterans out there treated, homelessness.
Definitely.
They see all these things, and they're
right.
like, why we spend all these years fighting in the interest of our country,
mm-hmm.
and we come back home, and this is what we see, and
yeah.
They're like, this money that is being burned, I mean, we could put it to good use.
Yeah, right.
Because it's not, right, because it's not traceable.
Right.
And my Brooklyn-born, I mean, the guy is like, he's the one that knows all this stuff. Because I tell you.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was like, bro, are you serious? He was like, yes, sir. This is what they do.
Wow.
This is how they do it.
They do. They do that for real.
Yes. And he spent like over 20 years in the armed service. Over 20 years. So he knows what he's talking about. So, yeah,
I got something for you, Mr. Parafine. We was conversating about you tonight before the show.
Oh,
me and my,
okay. my God. Oh, my
God. What was that?
Hey, I knew
was
it. I was going to tell on myself, but go ahead.
She was reading your bio. She was reading your bio, right?
Uh-huh.
And she said, Iceberg Slim.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, I have got to find out. I was like, oh, my God. I like to think of myself as an avid reader and a worldly version and a knowing and knowledgeable, only to find out that I can be a Roman idiot, too. And when I looked up my sister, I was like, oh, my God, I had forgot all about Chef. You know, it took me back.
I
was like.
What if I drop down a coin? What if I drop down a coin?
Down
a
coin, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So how did you get into his book? Tell me about it, because I'm telling you.
Well,
Iceberg
Slim?
The big word, pimping right there, yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think I read all of his works, because that's what first kind of, like, got me into, you know, yeah.
The pimp the whole to know.
Yeah, you know, and especially during the time of the black exploitation movies. Remember those movies? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, like the Cleopatra Jones and stuff like that. You know?
Right.
Come to Harlem. Yeah, you know.
Right.
Africa.
You're like, what?
Yeah. Across the
And you know what I was
street,
explaining
you know?
That to her? I said, that's what every, yes! For the
yeah.
160.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? So,
right.
Iceberg
yes.
Slim.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm trying
so,
to
so
you're going to make me watch one of them movies tonight. Oh, my
huh?
goodness.
Yes.
You're going to make me watch.
That's, yeah. That's oh, where God, it all God. Started. And especially my, one of my favorite characters in those black exploitation was my man, Max Julian.
Yes. Oh, man. He was
wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
the one. That was the one that played the Mac, was it?
That's it.
That's
it.
The Mac.
That's it. I wanted to be, yeah.
Yes.
Remember his famous line? Remember his famous line,
yes.
Mac? Oh, I want to be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. I want to be your son. You remember that line? I want to be your mother, your father, your sister,
your
brother.
I'm
your
daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, who's your daddy? I'm your baby.
See, you guys are taking me back.
Oh my God.
Track playing in the back.
Right, that's what I told him. Yes. I said, you know what, it brought me back to Freddy's Dead. I'm like, God, we got the talent with the diamond in the back.
So,
you know?
Yeah, that's right. So, Iceberg Slim. Iceberg Slim, the words that he wrote and how we put it together, it just fit in that time frame. So for me,
yeah,
growing up, yeah, that's what I read. I read a lot of Iceberg Slim. And don't laugh, I read Hardy Boys as well.
I ain't even going to lie. I was a Nancy Drew fan.
Nancy Drew, right? Yeah, Nancy Drew. Yeah, Nancy Drew.
Yes,
Nancy
but
Drew.
That's all we had to read.
Yes,
you know,
that's right.
To read, though.
I just
yeah,
said
Nancy
that.
Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys. Yeah.
Yes, with Miss Melanie, you know, Melanie Johnson was just on, and we were talking with her. I said, you know, the only thing we really had to read in the house was those kind of mm-hmm. books, the Daily Prayer and the Bible.
There you go.
There wasn't a lot to pick from on the den table, okay?
Or that's how I learned how to read, by reading my mom's romance books. Like, she had them all over
right.
the house, and that's all I would read.
Yes.
Until I learned how to read. Yeah, that's
and
what
the
I learned.
And the Three Musketeers series as well. I read that
yeah.
as well growing up. Yeah,
I swear, I did not know what tenderloins was for years.
Me
like,
either.
Oh,
I'm like,
know?
What is this? What is this? Boy, put my book down. Mom was
right.
like, boy, put that book down. And she would let me read them.
Yeah,
that got me.
The
tenderloins
didn't
got me. Yeah.
I read
she knew what I didn't know what I was reading.
Mm-hmm. As I got older, I started reading a lot of James Baldwin works.
Okay.
Yeah, Toni Morrison. And there is this book that really changed my outlook. It was by this mm-hmm. guy named Peary Thomas. I think his last name is Peary Thomas. It's called Down These Mean Streets.
Oh.
Yeah, Down These Mean Streets. He passed away a few years ago. He was a Moreno Puerto Rican. And he was from El Barrio in New York City, and there's a part in his book, in that very book, where during the Jim Crow era, because he was locked up, he was in jail, he did some time in jail, like 15, 20 years as well, because he was getting into trouble, and that's where, I guess you would say, his epiphany started, where he realized that, you know, like, I have to do something with my life, and he was like... During his Jim Crow era period, he decided to go down south to see if this was actually true, where you could be dark as dark can be, but if you spoke a foreign language, you could still go into a restaurant where colored folks weren't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually went down south. Yes, and he actually went down south, he said. Yes, he actually went down south, he said, and he entered one of those eateries. And they served him because he spoke Spanish.
Wow. Mm-hmm. See, that's an interesting read right there.
Yeah, it's called Down These Mean Streets, Peary Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away about 6 or 7 years ago. I think he passed away in his 70s, late 70s or something like that. But that book, when I read that book, it woke me up. It did.
Yeah.
It did. And that kind of like, So
tell us what you got going on.
Huh?
What you got going on?
Well, right now?
Yeah,
Right now, I'm finishing up. I'm working on this project called The Woman in Compartment 13.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, I'll give you a quick run.
Man,
he had that tea all along. Don't hold out.
It's about a group of It's about a group of people who sell body parts. They take your body parts and they sell it to the highest bidder. Okay. And the way they do it, there's a train that runs from the Canadian border into the United States. I just created that on my own. Okay. And what they do is unbeknownst to the riders, passengers, they're being watched. They're actually being watched by the group on the train, because they are in charge of the train. It's their train, and they're in charge of it. And you're actually being watched on this train. And what they do is they watch you close enough where they basically pick you out as prime meat, so to speak. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they'll confiscate your paperwork and lead you into believing that everything is okay. And what they do is they'll take care of you as far as, murdering you and selling your body parts to the highest bidder on the black market.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
Yeah, you know, like your eyes, things like that.
They wouldn't want mine, because I'm trying to be bifocals and tiny lenses. They'd be like, oh, you're not a rag guy, babe.
It's I'm like 50 pages in. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not because
I tell
people all the time, I'm even though I use the term author, I tell them no. I tell them I'm a writer.
That's it.
Yeah. I write everything. Because when I first started out, I started with urban fiction. Mm-hmm. You know, street lit. And then I went from there, and I started doing, talking about different stories, how, you know, we come in contact with people, with one of my projects is called Untold Tales. It's a number of short stories about different things. And then I just delved into the Seeing Eyes, which is also one of my babies. I should mention that. It's basically about a group of astronauts who goes into space, and unknowingly they return with the Seeing Eyes. And now the Seeing Eyes are observing us, see how we treat each other, and they are deciding whether to let us kill ourselves or they destroy us.
Ooh. Wow. I like that.
Okay.
It takes place in the year, it takes place in the year 5052. Okay. And I can give you, if you don't mind, I'll read you a little short piece of it. Okay.
Go ahead, yeah.
Go. Okay, it says, the year 5052. On a year-long mission to circumnavigate the outer galaxy, Erebus, and the planet Carinus 1, in hope of finding life, tragedy struck when they emerged and entered Carinus 2 and 3. The fully manned spacecraft of 100 men surfaced the outer and uppermost parts of the unknown planets, retrieving rock erosions, hoping to find some semblance of life. A crew of 10 boarded two space catcher super turbo electromagnetic laser glider craft, landing on the planet's surface. Quote, we have landed, end of quote, said the junior commander leading the 10-man crew. Copy that, replied the lieutenant commander. Is there anything that you need to know as of this moment? Yes, sir. Go ahead, JC. The recon team must have miscalculated the logistics in Erebus and Carinus 1. And it goes on. And then there is a scene where they are confronted by the Seeing Eyes. They're confronted by the Seeing Eyes. But unknown to them, they don't know who they are. They just know that they're like an alien being, and they're destroyed. And that's where the story takes off, because the United States government during this time is not the government that we have now.
Ooh.
It is totally, yes, it is totally different. Yeah, people tell me, dude, the way how you think. I was like, look. It's a government now where we're in contact with other beings. We are allies with other so-called alien beings and stuff like that. Countries that we thought weren't like now are militarily strong. They are during this period. Yeah, and we're just the government. The U.S. government is now made up of branches where the president can be basically set aside.
Mm.
Okay, the states. Actually, there's a part in here where one of the states, no, several states got together and decided that the federal government wasn't doing enough, and they wanted to step in. They had their own military, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, wow.
Things of that nature. So it's like,
sounds like now.
Yeah.
I, man, you took the words out of my mouth. You talking about the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about yesterday.
Yeah, and people tell me, they said, dude, how you come up with these stories? I'm like, it just happens. I just think about stuff, and I said, why not?
Wow.
Why
you
not?
Are amazing. We need your platforms. It's a social media site so people can contact you and find your work.
Okay. They can find my work on Amazon, Amazon.com. At AnthonyPathfinder.com. I'm also on Facebook as author Anthony Pathfinder. I'm also on Instagram as author Anthony Pathfinder. But my site is AnthonyPathfinder.com.
Great.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to load that to the author.
And also, as the young lady said earlier, Google me. I was listening to her. I heard her. Yeah.
Yes.
If there are any issues, yes. If there are any issues, yeah, they can Google me. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I will definitely check out you guys, your works. I will definitely do that.
Thank
you. Yes.
I'm always on the author's lounge as we speak.
Okay. Because yes. I'm always, I love reading other writers' works. I do, because one of the things that I used to do, I've slowed down somewhat, but every month, this might sound like I'm giving away money, but for me it wasn't. Every month I would take like $100 and go to Barnes & Noble. And just buy books. Yeah, that's what I used to do. I slowed down somewhat, but I thought about getting back into it because I love to read. I love to hear what other authors have to say and things like that. So I've always done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to add your works, you guys' works, to my
thank you.
To my collection.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to thank you for coming on the show. Bye.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, finally, I know. Thank you, right? Because we spoke about it before, right? Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. I can't wait to read that.
Which one? The CNIs?
I don't know which one. I ain't reading that one. You're going to have me having nightmares.
Well, I tell you what. What I would suggest to you guys is Treasure. Uh-huh. This is my baby. Treasure. It's about a black family who for years passed for white.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The eldest daughter, Treasure.
And it's called Treasure?
It's called Treasure, right. And that's the main character, Treasure.
Let me copy. I'm going to put that link on my page, too. Mm. Yeah.
She overhears the conversation one night, and she finally confronts the family. And when she does, all hell breaks loose. Because she grew up as a white woman, as a white girl.
The
family's black. Yes, the family's black, and the people across the other side of the track, they know the family is black. They know the family's black. But the white folks that they're living with, they don't know.
Mm.
And all hell breaks loose when she confronts her uncle, her aunts, her mom, her dad. Yeah.
Wow. That's a good read.
It's called Treasure. I would love for you guys to check that out. And if you're familiar with the Jim Crow era, you will see that because what I did was I just incorporated my characters into that time period.
That's all I did.
Right. So there's no lies there. If you're reading it, you're gonna see places and things in there that will make you say, "Oh yes, this is this place." But it's just that my characters are fictional. That's all.
I truly enjoyed you, and you know the talk about Slim, you know.
I enjoyed being here, Iceberg Slim.
I know, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome so much.
All right, guys.
Have a good night.
Good night, and you guys take care. Bye-bye.
You as well. Thank you again. All right. Bye-bye.
Lounge, everybody, presented to you by Drifter Mike. Call in 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. And our author in the spotlight tonight is Frederick Beatty.
I'm going to give you this one, Hayes. I'm going to give you the honor of introducing your girl.
Hey, go ahead. Do the thing. Well,
go ahead. I'm giving you the floor on this one.
Frederick Beatty found the love of writing early in childhood, writing short stories, poems, and even creating a comic book with his twin brother, Cedric, where he served as a colorist and contributed to the writing of the character dialogue. He credits the great Stan Lee, Frank Miller, Alan Moore, and Neil Gaiman as influential writers. As much as he tried to pull away writing, and impacting lives was something he could not run away from. He released Broken Chains in 2017 as a self-published author, released The Road Less Traveled in 2019. He also has contributed to 3 other works as a co-author. He currently is the host of Author's Alley radio show, powered by Trailblazers Radio, his flagship radio station. He also contributes to Aspiring Authors Magazine. He is also an advocate for abuse, mental health, and social justice. You can find his book, F.L. Beatty Presents Tapestry, The Interwoven Soul, and The Road Less Traveled and Broken Chains on Amazon. Frederick was the author in the spotlight tonight. One more. And her name, she is the CEO of TL Magazine, Ms. Jacqueline Cordon. She has been CEO of this great magazine for a while. If anybody goes on Amazon, you will know that's the number one magazine for the author so far, but she has been a great contribution to the author's lounge and to other authors that's coming out with work and wants to get that work promoted. She does an awesome job. And please check out the Transparency. She's on Facebook, and she's also an author too. So the author in the spotlight tonight and the CEO of TL Monthly Magazine was Frederick Beatty and Jacqueline Cordon. Now, his next guest, hold on before I introduce him.
You know what? Don't start. She already know. That's why we call this the office lounge.
I want to introduce first the office lounge presented to you by Drifter Mike. 646-378-0355. Press 1 to call in. This lady right here, I don't know what to say. She is all over the place. She collaborates. She does everything. She has done so much for people's careers that I can't even. I'm tongue twisted. It is.
Now, honey, she's a beast. Beast.
And I still don't think she gets the recognition she deserves. But she just keeps going and keeps going. I want to introduce y'all, the queen of collaboration, Miss Angela Thomas.
Yes.
What's up, Miss Lady? Uh-oh. Is she here? Can you hear us?
You hear me?
You got us. We got you, lady.
Can you hear
me? How are you, Miss Smith? Yes.
I'm okay. How y'all doing tonight?
We are good.
We're good. Glad to have you.
Yes.
I'm glad to be here.
This time.
I am glad to be here.
So go ahead and give the fans and the audience what you do. Let's tell them what you do. It's so much.
But I so I am the founder of AAOAC, which is the African American Author Literacy Awareness Campaign. I am also the CEO of Aspiring Authors Magazine. I host a couple podcasts. I just truly believe in, you know, people understanding that they have a purpose in this world and trying to get people to walk in their purpose. And I do that through educating, empowering, and encouraging. And from my experiences, things that I've experienced and don't want other people to have to experience. If I can lighten your load or lighten your journey, that is my desire. We're all here to be helpmates one to another. I ask the question all the time, are you your brother's keeper? Are you your sister's keeper? If you answer yes to that question, then you're on the right track. If you answer no to that question, then I will ask you, are you doing and giving out what you want to receive? If you're not, then you need to check yourself. So that's where I am. This journey has not been easy. I am a domestic violence survivor, suicide attempt survivor. Mental health is my thing. I love to advocate for mental health. I advocate for domestic violence. I just want people to be able to thrive in this life that we're living, this journey that we're on. You know, we have not been here before. So nobody has it all the way right. So it is an experience. And I would rather experience it positively than with the negative. So if you're going to be negative, stay on your side of the fence. That's where I am. That is me. I am all the way real. I love people. I want to see people thrive. I write. I share my thoughts through writing, and I try to encourage other people to write. To express themselves, to get their thoughts out, to be creative. Even people that think that they don't have a voice or think that they can't write. I am the queen of collaborations because I love to collaborate. I love to bring people together. You know, there are so many people that still say, I'm not an author, but they've co-authored 4 or 5 books. But because they don't have that book by themselves, they don't consider themselves an author. If you picked up a pen and you wrote and you contributed something, you are an author. Stop with the co-stuff. You are an author.
I know that's right.
Right.
I know that's
but
right.
Yeah,
how
that's
long
why
have
tell
you
us
been
about
writing?
Tell us.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Paulette. You got it.
Look, we got so many questions. We just started like, pew, pew, pew. But how long have you been writing? When did you know that this
I haven't been writing long. I actually picked up my first pen in 2016.
Okay.
in a collaboration. I was actually working with some kids. And it's funny how all of this came about, because I used to run a after-school program and a summer program working with kids. And
wow.
That particular summer, my kids were like, oh, this is just like school. We don't want, oh. And they were just so upset with me. They did not want to come. When it was terrible. So I had to kind of come up with things that would get my babies involved and creative and wanting to be involved in the program, because my whole thing was I didn't want my babies to lose what they had learned during the school year, during the summer, because that's what happened with our babies. They lose what they've learned because they don't have anybody, you know, telling them to pick up a book and read. They don't have anybody counting with them. They don't have anybody structuring sentences. So what I did with my kids was I asked them, I said, well, what do you want to do? What do you want this program to be? And they started telling me all the things that they wanted to do. So everything that them babies told me what they wanted to do, we did during the program. They told me that they wanted to be a doctor. You know what? I brought a doctor in that looked like them. They told me they wanted to be a lawyer. I found a lawyer that looked like them. Everything that they told me they wanted, I'm talking about even down to bakers. We had a lady that came in and she brought cupcakes, and they decorated cupcakes. I mean, we did everything. I had a lady that traveled from Atlanta. This lady had just gave birth to her baby. She came in, had her baby swaddled on her front of her, and she taught my babies how to do vision boards.
Wow.
So we was pouring into our babies, trying to educate, empower, and encourage them now. They don't have to wait till they turn 18 and 20 to operate and to do those things. You want to be whatever, you want to start a business, go start your business. We about to bring people in to show you how to start your business.
Right.
We got to start putting that back into our kids. So that's how I started. A young lady, I was reaching out, getting people to come and be a part of my program. She was in Texas, and she couldn't come. But what she wanted to do was she wanted to allow the kids to write little bits and pieces and put a book together. Well, long story short, instead of it turning out to be the kids, it ended up me writing a chapter in the book. She ended up asking me to do a chapter in the book. I did a chapter in the book, and this was the very first time that I really, really ever shared anything about me. So I shared my journey with losing my mom, and it's the day before I lost my mom 31 years ago. Tomorrow is going to be 31 years that I lost my mom. So I shared that journey. You know, I experienced a lot losing my mom 12 days after my 16th birthday, you know, and it kind of set me back. But I shared that journey because there's somebody else out there that was going through that or is going to experience that and may have been feeling exactly how I was feeling and may have experienced the same things that I was feeling. But somebody needs to know that you can survive it, because, I'm here 31 years later, and yet I'm still here. When I didn't think I was going to make it, I'm here. So that was my journey. And today I am at book number 53. I have collaborated, self-published, wrote in other people's books, did all types of things. I have journals out. I have planners out. I have collaboration projects, you name it. But it was that one experience that I had that made me say, okay, I've got to learn how to do this myself, because nobody taught me. Nobody wanted to teach me. And see, I go so hard because we have so many people out here that know how to do things, but they will not share with other people. They sit on
stuff.
It's so many people out there in the grave. There's so many people in the grave right now with gifts and talents that we need, but because they sat on it.
You're right.
We missed out. We missed out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people are doing. I I'm going to say this, and I don't care who get mad, because I'm sick of folks. I'm sick of people, and I'm sick of people getting no wrong people. And I want them to know that God is not pleased. He sees everything, regardless of what you're doing and how you're doing it and what you think you're getting no wrong people. You're not, because he sees everything.
Yep.
and trust and believe, karma is a mug, and it bites.
Mm-hmm.
All these people walking around here, somebody done showed you how to do something, and then you want, I teach people daily. I show people daily how to do stuff. People pick my brain. They pick my brain for free. And then they'll go over to another platform, and they'll pay $500 or $600 to be on covers of magazines and to be on other stuff and to do this and to do that. I'm sick of them. The truth is the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I'm free tonight, and I don't care who
you know what. Preach.
Because they need to stop that mess.
That's the truth.
They need to stop that mess. If I'm your sister or I'm your brother's keeper, then let me be that, and you be that for me. Let's be that for each other.
Yeah.
That's gonna be over here community. Trying to see what we can take from somebody.
Right.
They wanna suck. They act like some leeches. They act like leeches. They, all they wanna do is suck.
Yep. Then they gone.
Yeah.
And then you over there in the corner, over there trying to fight for your life, and they out up on the platform somewhere. but trust and believe now. I'm telling you, my mama told me this a long time ago, and I used to wonder why my mama used to talk to me like she talked to me. But me and my mama used to have some conversation, like I'm talking about some grown up conversation. And my mama used to tell me all the time. She said, "Them same people that you pass on your way up, baby girl." She said, "Them same people you pass on your way up." She said, "You'll pass them on your way down." So she said, "Be careful how you treat people."
Mm-hmm.
You be careful. Say all that stuff that you're doing, thinking that you're getting over on people, because I got a person right now, and they know who they are. They know who they are. And I don't message them. I don't send messages and messages and messages. And they know who they are. But I have a book, and I'm about to put it out there. I have a book that's out. It was released in 2018. So if you are a part of this project, this was my very first collaboration project that I ever done.
Wow.
This is before I knew how to do anything.
Yeah.
And I was just, because you trust people, you got to know, don't put your trust in you, man, you better keep your trust in him and stop trusting in people. Because when you put your trust in people and in them titles that people walk around here and throw around, they ain't nothing.
Mm.
Don't take them titles for literally for what them people say. But people can buy titles now. They're giving it away. You can go online and buy them. All you got to do is just take a test, and you can cheat on the test.
Girl,
so all that stuff that they walk around
all
here, day
ministering,
please.
Now you gotta go to church.
Mm-hmm. You ain't got to have a church. You ain't got to have no church. They walk around here with doctor's degrees, they bishops, they all kind of stuff.
And they did nothing.
But then you walking around here taking advantage of people. Do you not think that you're not going to be accountable for that?
Exactly.
And especially if you doing it in the name, you better stop using the name.
Mm-mm.
You better stop using the name. If you're not using the name right, you better stop using the name. You better stop it. I'm telling them, they better stop it. And they know who they are. All these people know who they are. And it ain't just one. It's a couple of them.
Oh,
they know who they are. They need to stop.
Welcome to the office, ma'am.
Right. They need to stop
the office.
Because I'm telling you, I'm real about what I do. I have a passion for what I do. You don't see me out here in these streets trying to overcharge people. You don't see me out here. Man, it'd be plenty of times when I walk away from projects where I'd be paid out more than I done took in. Trying to make sure that people get seen, that people get heard, that people get everybody that know me knows.
And then you already know
people
what
don't come. And
then
people come to my platform, and they be the first one. Oh, I don't have this. I don't have. And what I do? I put people on baby. People be on payment plans for $100. Come on now. You think that's being about money? People on payment plans for $100? Come on now. I ain't chasing. I'm not chasing money, and I'm not chasing clocks. Because let me tell you, my God say he will make room for my gift. And my gift will make room for me.
Amen. It's the truth. And, you know, nobody, you telling it like it is,
anybody listening, you can be offended. You can be anything you want to be, but be honest, because what you're saying is true. Be honest.
But if they are offended, you know what that means. You know what you know what that. But God chastised. He chastised us because he wants us to do right.
That's right.
He wants us to do right. That's why he chastised us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are offended, then that means go look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
If you're offended, look in the mirror and check yourself. And I don't I don't watch people's lives, and I don't sit in here and have to say ouch to myself and go and look in the mirror and be like, girl, you need to check yourself.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, if you too above yourself to check yourself, then something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell anybody else's truth but my own. That's it. You either gonna love me a lot or hate me even more.
You can't tell nobody truth. Don't nobody know your truth but you, baby. You and the one that created you.
Yeah.
That's why I keep telling people we so worried about outside forces and so worried about other people and what other people think when they have no control. They have no control. He is the only one that has any control over anything. He the only one can change anything about you. Nobody else can do that. They didn't give you life, and they sure can't take it from you.
That's right. Exactly.
I mean, they can and take the consequences, but they can't. They cannot legally take it from you because they didn't give it to you. He the only one had the legal rights to that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's true. Oh, wow. Like I said, it's been long overdue. People tiptoe around it in this industry, but at the end of the day, it's said more often than we think, but nobody will just put it out there, you know. I'm so glad. I'm so grateful for you tonight because, you know, we need to let people know they're not the only ones thinking this. You know, you may not know everything, but you know something. You know something, you know.
And I keep telling people, you know, we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. So instead of us preying on people and taking advantage of people, if you see somebody is weak in the area and you know that you're strong in that area, then why don't you look down? Why don't you look down, pick your sister and your brother up? Why don't you just put your wings around them, your arms around them, wrap your arms around them and try to lift them up? Because there may be something that they are strong in that you may be weak in. But we don't got away from that. You know, when are we as melanated people? And then I have to go there because it's us that do it to ourselves. It's us that do it to ourselves. I have other people from other races that look out better than my own people. And I had too many people tell me that. Too many people tell me that other races look out before they own. And when are we going to stop saying that is okay and that is acceptable? Ain't that it ain't that I'm racist. No, I'm not racist. If you look at my family tree, you'll see I'm not racist. But if we go back, we got to go back and we got to start breaking some of those curses that's been passed down. We overlooking it. We try to overlook it by accepting this and accepting that and accepting this one. All we got to do is go back. Break those curses. It start with us. Be the change. We keep saying we want this, we want that, but be it. Don't say it, be it.
You're right.
You got to be the change that you desire. That's what I keep telling people. Hashtag be the change that you desire. I'm here to heal the city and heal. God dropped that in my spirit some months ago in 2021 when I did that anthology. I did a prayer. I did a prayer book, and I'm currently in. We're in 121 days of prayer right now. Tomorrow's going to be day 72, but this is the second year that we've done it. The first year we did it, we produced a book, 121 days of prayer. 365 affirmations from around the world. There, I brought 138 women. You hear me? 138 women together when they say we can't work together. I got a book to prove it, 402 pages to prove it that we can. And we can be on one accord. and we can support each other. So that book right there alone lets you know that 138 people was on one accord. Then I got videos, interviews where I talked to all of them, and we shared why we chose to be a part of this project. But I do things like that because I want my people to come together. You know, we got to get back to that village mentality where
we think
about the person next to us, because you can't tell me. I'm in South Carolina, and we have a young lady missing right now in Anderson, South Carolina. This young lady's been missing over 70 days, and it's broken my heart because I personally don't know her. She connected to my family in so many ways. Like, people kin to me know her, and it's just so much. And then just to sit and listen how the law enforcement don't want to get involved. They say they're involved, but then you don't see nothing going on. You don't hear nothing, but then you hear Gabby. They hear Gabby Peterson, FBI got involved, and they was all over the news and everybody else of any other race. We don't hear about us until they find us on the side of the road deceased.
Right.
When it's too late.
And even then with the second story, we always the second story. That's what I tell people. Why do we have to be the second story? When the news comes on and talk about Ukraine and anything else, we're always the second story. It's just too much.
And it's always something negative. I stop watching news, man. I don't like watching the news because I get tired of hearing what's gonna happen. You know, I worry about Hezekiah being in where he is because I know what be going on in the A. You know what I'm saying?
Because
been there, lived there for years, so I understand. And then every time I talk to somebody. Somebody telling me this don't happen. And every time I still get notifications on my phone because of when I lived in Atlanta and I had the what's the name set up on my phone, I still get those notifications. Like, I got a notification about a drug bust on Fabron Road today. All kind of stuff be going on. Yeah, everything be going on in Atlanta, I be getting it.
All day long.
Every day. The man that's missing on Cascade down by Fulton Industrial, praying that he come home safely. He's an elderly guy with dementia. And just knowing the area that they're talking about, the first thing that they're going to say if somebody see this man is that he's homeless. And we don't want people thinking that he's homeless and running them off and scaring them because he's not. He has dementia. And he's wandered off. He wandered off on yesterday. And it's one of my friends because, you know, I went to Morris Brown. I played basketball at Morris Brown. So Atlanta is home to me. So I be thinking about, you know, a lot of things that be going on, you know. But, yeah. I thank y'all for allowing me to come on here tonight and share. I have enjoyed listening to. I tell everybody, because I'm all over the place. Yeah, I'm all over the place. So I tell everybody, just go to Linktree, Queen of Collaboration. And once you go over to Linktree, put in Queen of Collaboration, all of my stuff going to pop up. My website, TikTok, LinkedIn, everything. Book links, everything.
God, thank you so much. It was an amazing show tonight. Yo, I'm telling you. You all have put it down this evening. And, I mean, you know, it's so funny because you can plan how a show going to go or you can, you know, read the bios and envision with these people. And then y'all get on here and just cut up. I'm like, I'm just like, yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
And, Hezekiah, I'm going to tell you, I did because I just knew you was going to trick me. And I was like, okay, now I done told this man I ain't no poet, and I know he gonna ask me. He gonna ask me to do something.
Yep.
So at six,
you know,
at 6:17 today. I wrote this for y'all because somebody listening gonna need to hear this. They need to hear this, and it's called That Dark Place. Sometimes we are so deep in ourselves, our mess, we can't even see the light. That dark place. Deliver me, oh Lord. Save me from myself. Today, just another day, filled with letdowns, disappointments, hurts, and mistrust. That dark place. Accepting the fact that I can't change myself. I tried it my way, only to walk into a brick wall. That dark place. Revive, restore, renew. It's time to walk in your resilience. You claim to be a believer, then believe that he is, he can, and he will, because he's done it before. That dark place. Not by chance that you are here. He kept you when you wanted to give up, because he keeps those that want to be kept from that dark place. That's that piece.
Hmm. Wow. Now, see, look at you. I ain't fooling with you.
I did that at 6:17 when you text me and you said, but you know, he deal with me with words, and I just wrote them words down, like I was just writing the words down. But dark, when he gave me that word dark, it was to deliver me. It's for whoever. We need darkness. Don't always come to hinder you. Sometimes he has to allow you to be in that dark place so that you can find out truly who he is, truly who he is. Because I always ask this question, why me? Why I had to be the person that had to deal with death? Because let me tell you, I lost the first major death that I had in my family was in 89, then my mom in 91, and then it seemed like every year after that I was losing. I didn't understand up until last year. I was getting ready to release my third poetry book. It was a collaboration book, Words Speak Hurts No More. And there was a young guy that was going to be a part of the project. And the day that our assignments were due, he called me and he told me that he wasn't going to be able to be a part of the project. Now, the day that it was due now, that he wasn't going to be able to be a part of the project because he was going through some stuff. And then he told me that he was in the midst of losing a family member. He knew that they were going to pass on, you know, but he just didn't know when. So I was in a place because I had been there, and I had just wrote a poem to my cousin because my cousin passed away in 89, but it's like I never really said goodbye to him, you know, and it's like I smelt him that day. You know how you smell? I'm from the country, so I grew up in a farm. Like, so you would smell like we heated our homes with a fire, with a wood fire. So we smelled like wood. So kerosene. I could smell. It's like I could smell that wood smell in the house, and I knew that we live in an apartment, and I live in Myrtle Beach. We don't burn firewood. We don't get that cold here. So I was smelling smoke, and it was like my cousin was heavy on my mind, and I wrote that poem to him. And when I wrote that poem, I got that phone call from this gentleman, and I was able to share with him that poem that I had just wrote and to share my journey, because a lot of people don't know my journey. I've lost a lot of people in my life, but I keep pressing. I never stop. I lost my brother December of 2020. I was getting ready to go live on the radio that Sunday morning at 8 a.m. phone call at 7:55 that my brother had passed. And my guest, she said, do you want to, she said, we can cancel it. You don't have to go. I said, baby, I said, I knew on Friday that my brother may not make it. My niece and my nieces were okay. And as long as they was okay, I was okay because I knew what my brother had suffered. My brother was a quad. He'd been paralyzed for over 20 years. I knew what he had suffered. My mm-hmm. brother couldn't cough on his own. He couldn't stretch his head. He couldn't walk. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't do nothing. So I knew what he had suffered. My brother got his body back. He got a healed mm-hmm. body. He got a new body. So I was able to go on that show, and her testimony was her losing her father. And it was the anniversary of her losing her father. So we were there for each other. It had I not went and did that show, somebody that was tuning in may have missed out on what they needed to hear that day. I would go on, telling you, May of 2017, I lost my grandmother, I lost two cousins, and I lost three family members to suicide within 2 weeks of each other. The youngest one was 14 years old. She committed suicide the day before Mother's Day. This has been my journey. Mm-hmm. But I pressed. Because I am remembered. I remember Jeremiah 29:11 was dropped in my spirit in December of 2012. He said he had a plan for me, to prosper me, for me to be in good health, for me to have hope in the future. And if I don't go through, how can I tell somebody else?
Mm.
How can I tell Woo. Somebody else? So those mm-hmm. dark places that we're in, those dark places that we're in, it's for him to be able to deliver us. The D is for deliver. The A is accept. We got to accept where we are. We got to accept who we are. And we got to accept that we cannot change. Certain things we cannot change, that we have to allow him to change for us. So we got to be able to know the difference. But through all things, we got to stand with resilience. We have to know that we are called. Because if you look back over your life, it's been plenty of times when you thought you weren't going to make it. But yet you're still here. You are called. That's why the wheel in the wheel will not let you give up. That's that resilience. So the K stands for kept, because he'll keep you if you want to be kept. Glory, glory. He'll keep you if you want to be kept. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you are. I don't care what it looks like. If you want to be kept, he'll keep you. And that'll help you get out of that dark place. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You know what? I thank you. I thank you. We have had a wonderful show. I just want to thank Hez and his show for us. It has been amazing. Hez, have you enjoyed yourself? I think
we won't feel a lot of new spirit.
Yeah, we may have. You know what? I'm done. But again, like I said,
he don't feel a lot in the spirit.
Right. This is the Author's Lounge. I thank everyone for listening. I thank you again, Ms. Thomas. I need you all to stay blessed. Keep everyone in prayer. Have a good night. Thank you.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me wanna...